All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show. I'm your host, Lance Dahl, hanging out here with you on this beautiful Monday afternoon. No Dylan Lark today. Going to be flying solo on the show. Going to be discussing a couple of different things that I wrote about over the weekend relating to Texas and Oklahoma's move to the SEC. I want to talk about how this impacts the Auburn Tigers. I want to talk about what the SEC could look like, potentially according to our friends over at SI. Also, going to be talking about Auburn basketball and just kind of asking the question, you know, what's going on with Bruce Pearl's squad right now? I think it's a pretty easy answer, but nonetheless very frustrating to see the way that the Tigers are kind of falling apart here down the stretch, to be completely honest with you. So if you've not already subscribed to the show on YouTube, make sure that you do that if you're watching there. If you're listening on podcast, make sure you are following us and leave a five-star review wherever you are listening. Also, if you've not followed our written work over at auburndaily.com, as well, make sure you check that out. So, Texas and Oklahoma, according to the SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, will be moving to the league in 2024 instead of 2025. A lot of this was set in motion because Texas and Oklahoma wanted out of the league, and initially the Big 12 and Fox and the contracts with the TV deals and all this good stuff was essentially not willing to get the Longhorns and the Sooners out because they wanted the money that came with the Sooners and the Longhorns for the final season. And then the Big 12 commissioner, his name slipped my mind right now, I guess essentially wised up and said, well, there's not really going to be a whole lot of return that we can get out of them this season. And it also makes more sense for us to ship them off to the SEC and get $100 million off of them through this TV contract that we're breaking, and we end up more profitable and all this good stuff. So, obviously, the move was made, and now Texas and OU are going to be coming to a league near you if you're listening in the footprint of the Southeastern Conference. So it's really, really weird that Auburn's about to reside in the same league as Oklahoma and Texas. It sounds really strange to kind of say aloud. Auburn and Texas and Oklahoma don't really have a whole lot of history. So it's going to be building up some interesting matchups, I think, here over the next few seasons. It's going to be building up some rapport with these two programs. Auburn hasn't played Texas since 1991. They've only played Oklahoma twice. So, again, I think this is going to be very interesting. Past those matchups, though, there are several ways the expansion of the SEC is going to impact Auburn. And so I wrote about it again over at auburndaily.com. You go check it out there. Here are a few of the ways that Auburn will eventually be impacted. I think the first, obviously, has to be recruiting. The Tigers don't heavily recruit the state of Texas, and they hardly recruit the state of Oklahoma. But the problem here is Texas and OU both certainly recruit in Auburn's footprint. They've got two more schools. The league does now, with more than enough money to throw around with NIL and recruiting. It makes Auburn's job in the Southeast to recruit a little bit more difficult, and it makes the league's job as a whole a little bit more difficult to recruit. I made this note in the article. To be completely honest with you, this probably affects Texas A&M more than anybody else. Probably. It's more of a shock to them, I think, than anybody. There's no certainty also that Oklahoma will come into this league and just recruit better off rip because, oh, or they're in the SEC now. It's also like the same thing for Texas. I think they're a safe bet to kind of continue on the trajectory that they are right now, which is underneath Steve Sarkisian, kind of going out, kind of getting the big boys. They obviously got Arch Manning to commit to them just a few months ago. I think they are going to continue to be stable. I do not see a downward trend happening with Texas. Oklahoma is a little bit more interesting, though. As a whole, I want to reiterate, this will make recruiting, bringing in two schools with a lot of money to throw around, it's going to make recruiting in this footprint where this league resides a little bit more difficult, not just for Auburn, but for everybody else. I'm curious to see how battles for kids in Texas affect Auburn now. I don't know what that could look like. I just know it's going to affect them. So that's my thought there on recruiting. Revenue also, if we're going to spin this a little bit more positively, look, you bring in two schools with a lot of money, hey, all of a sudden, you've also got a little bit more money yourself. I said in my article, and I've probably quoted this on the show, in the words of Calvin from the comic Calvin and Hobbes, if your numbers go up, that means you're having fun. Pretty straightforward there, I think. Auburn right now, currently, I believe they got, in the 40 millions, 41 million from the SEC after they split up all of their revenue just here a few short weeks ago. that number is going to go up with Texas and Oklahoma moving into the league. I think this, again, is pretty straightforward with how you spend this. And I think that most people acknowledge that the reason this move was made was for this, right? It was for more money. It was for more benefits for all of these different schools. And that's just kind of that, right? I mean, there's nothing else to say other than there will be people out there that are frustrated over the fact that this deal was done simply for this reason. I don't necessarily think that it's a problem. I think that that's just part of college football. I think that's the direction that the state of college football is going. People that make the decisions have their mind focused on making more revenue, and this was just simply another one of them. I think that this is a positive thing. I think this is a good thing for everybody involved. Now, here's where it gets interesting, and this is the third of the fourth points here I want to make, the third of the four points I want to make here. Scheduling. So while it does bring you more revenue, it also, like, you have to think about, like, the additional conference games. And by the way, I want to be clear, this is not just for football. This is for everything. This is for basketball. This is for baseball. This is for gymnastics. This is for tennis. This is for soccer. This is for equestrian. This is for everything, right? Scheduling also, I think, is going to be very interesting. But if we want to stay relative to football here, it's the primary discussion. It's worth noting that at meetings in Destin, Florida last year, the SEC already figured out how other sports will implement new scheduling models. The only one that has not been discussed, at least to my knowledge, and has been actually implemented, is football. I'd have to go back and look at the reports from Destin last year. But football, the schedule still has not been decided. Auburn is a particularly interesting case, considering they may not get to play their two biggest rivals in the same year, depending on how the schedule changes. Now, I doubt that's going to happen. I doubt they're going to be put in a position where that actually becomes reality. But again, it all depends on how the league office wants to handle things. So scheduling, I think, is a very fascinating way that this conference is going to change, because it's going to do away with some things, I believe, and we'll get to that in a little bit whenever we start talking about what the new SEC could look like. The final thing here, this also ties into revenue, but I think it needs to be a separate conversation, because I fear that we are going to continue to have unpleasant conversations about how traveling arrangements are done, particularly for some smaller sports. Travel is the final thing I think will be affected here. This directly impacts all schools, with Auburn sitting kind of nestled in the middle of the SEC's geographical footprint. I don't think things should be too bad here. Traveling to Austin and Norman every other year, or the same, depending on sports and scheduling, it should be an additional expense, both fiscally and physically, I think. So keeping that in mind for how Auburn and how the other teams in the league, including Texas and Oklahoma, handle this. I mean, imagine going from Oklahoma to Florida like every other year. I mean, that is a travel. That is a legitimate move there. So I think that that's the final way we have to look at this affecting the Auburn Tigers. There are probably so many other different little detailed, nuanced things that are going to happen because of this. But I think that at the end of the day, there are an even amount of positive and negative things. And seeing how Auburn interacts in this league within a new college football playoff, an expanded college football playoff, is going to be interesting. We don't have the answers for how that's going to play out, because it hasn't happened yet. I'm just intrigued to see the way Auburn moves and whether or not they're actually able to make a perceived rise as a program from where they currently sit. So there's the ways that Auburn could be impacted. I want to talk about what this schedule could look like a little bit more, because I think it's interesting how this league could decide to divvy it up. Before we get to that, though, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. This season, Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks for 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers. You can predict the over-under for the next game and win big prizes if they do well. They've also got flex options where you can still get paid on winning only 3 of 5 or 2 of 3 of your games. You can also have multiple sports in the same parlay. Best of all, you can use promo code Auburn, A-U-B-U-R-N, to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. Again, that's promo code Auburn for double your first deposit. Obviously, Auburn's got a big game tomorrow against Missouri. So this college basketball season, you can win some money with Prize Picks in Auburn Daily. Again, you can use promo code Auburn. Check out some props for that one tomorrow. Again, another really, really big game that I think a lot of people should have their eyes on. What the new SEC could look like with Texas and Oklahoma moving into the league. So like I mentioned, it's official. Sooners, Longhorns going to be moving into the SEC. July 1st, 2024 is the specific date that has been set there by the league office and Greg Sankey. So Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated recently put out an article kind of detailing how all of this went down and also reiterating something that SI put out just like, I think it was 2 or 3 months ago, about what a new SEC could look like with what is arguably the best format out there. I've not seen one better, and that is the 3-6 model. So as you may know, right now the Southeastern Conference in college football plays 8 conference games in a 12-game regular season schedule. 8 of the 12 games are conference games. What the league is considering doing is, with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma, making this a 16-team super league, so to speak, what they're considering doing is making the conference slate one game larger and then divvying up rivals accordingly. So another model, for instance, I'm gonna preface this by explaining another model. Another model that was discussed was keeping the 8 conference games and doing what's called a 1-7 model, which would feature an 8-game format with one permanent opponent for each individual team. Likely the team's conference arch rival. So you've got one permanent opponent and then 7 conference opponents that rotate out every season. So that's an interesting concept. But the problem with that is that there are some teams in this league that play conference games that may not be against their arch rival, but are significant to the state of the league in terms of revenue and things like that, that they should be played annually to get that extra revenue. For instance, Alabama and Auburn play every single year. It's the Iron Bowl. It's massive. Auburn has Georgia, though. Auburn is also massive rivals with Georgia. Alabama, as of right now, is big rivals with LSU. That's a good game consistently in terms of what it does revenue-wise. So the league has the option to do that. They have the option to take away these extra rivalry games. Georgia-Tennessee. What does Georgia do? Do they go with Georgia? Or excuse me, do they go with Florida? Do they go with Tennessee? Do they go with Auburn? I mean, how does that work? So what the league has also proposed, and what a lot of people online have proposed, is you go to a 3-6 model, a 9-game format that would allow a team to keep 3 set-in-stone conference opponents every season while rotating out the other 6 conference games every year. This would mean, in theory, a student athlete would be able to see every stadium and city the SEC has to offer if he were to stay for the entirety of his 4-year eligibility, or longer, depending on what happens. It's unclear right now where the SEC is going to land, but a lot of people are leaning towards this 9-game model. And so a lot of people can only assume, well, if that's the way that, you know, just the league has been discussing it, then let's go ahead and start talking about this as if that's going to be the thing that's implemented. And this is something that they actually even talked about at Destin last year. They said they had like 30 different models that they discussed. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't even know if you can come up with 30 different conference models. But that's just my speculation there. But this was, if I'm not mistaken, the one that they continue to go back to. So I'm going to play through this here with you. Like, we are going to have a 9-game model. And Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated also, again, like I said, detailed in an article about what he and Sports Illustrated believe the 3-6 model could look like. So again, it's 3 permanent opponents, and then the rest rotate. For Auburn, Ross Dellinger and SI had, for the Tigers, Alabama, Georgia, and then their third permanent opponent, South Carolina, which is interesting for South Carolina to be added as the third opponent. But again, this is such a tough situation because of the rivalries in this conference that are not as prominent that do bring in as much revenue. There are some teams in here that make a lot of sense. Georgia, would get Auburn, Florida, Kentucky. Makes sense. It's really, really difficult to put Auburn, Florida, and Tennessee because the whole point of this 3-6 model is to give these teams what they want every year, but also they need to give them an even amount of, I don't know, they need to kind of like disperse the good teams. They don't need to give one team, they don't need to give Vanderbilt, Auburn, Georgia, and Alabama. That would be dumb. Vanderbilt would have to play, you know, the most impossible slate there, rotating in Texas and Oklahoma every now and then as well. I mean, that's just really, really, really difficult. Some of these teams are going to get screwed either way. That's just simply the nature of it. I think that there are going to be a couple of teams that regardless of what the SEC tries to do, maybe Auburn's one of them, but regardless of what the SEC wants to do, I think that people are going to walk away unhappy. Arkansas getting Missouri, Texas, and Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky's a weird one there for Arkansas. I think, honestly, Texas and Oklahoma move into this league, and they have some really interesting slates. Texas may be the most perfect. They would have Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Arkansas. Nobody's complaining about that. If you are, I'd love to talk to you. Oklahoma would get Texas, Missouri, and Florida. The only thing I would pause with there is I would like to see Missouri, Texas, and Oklahoma for Arkansas slate and let Kentucky get somebody else from the East. I would like to swap them out with maybe even South Carolina and let Auburn play Arkansas. I don't really know what the fan base is feeling on that one. But again, it's you're going to end up playing somebody now this for the foreseeable future that you've not played a lot up until this point. I think a lot of people are going to get caught up over that. I'm kind of caught up over it as well. Like, and this is what I said. This is what I said in the article. It needs to be noted that some teams that currently feel comfortable with their East-West rotation may end up with a new set of schools they have to play every year. Kentucky getting Arkansas, Mississippi State to shake things up, as well as Florida getting Oklahoma. I mean, that's just the reality of it. That's just part of it. People are going to have to adjust, and they're just going to have to get used to the fact that, oh, well, I'm going to have to play so-and-so now. And that's just part of the new league. Because geographics and what's going on across the U.S. is starting to become less irrelevant. Where you are relative to the rest of your league is starting to become less irrelevant. Look at the Big 12. Look at the Big 10, who is currently a prominently Midwest conference. Jeez. They are going out and they're getting UCLA and USC, going all the way across the country. Geographic footprint doesn't matter anymore. At least not as much as it did. I think the SEC is going to be a little bit more stubborn. They're going to hold on a little bit longer than some others. This is a fascinating move by the SEC. I know that we've been talking about it for years now, but it's a fascinating move by the SEC to kind of pull this stunt, and it's going to make a lot of teams adjust. It's going to make a lot of teams adjust. So that's my thought on that. That's my thought on what the league could look like. If you want to check out what the entire slate could look like, the 3-6 model could be for every individual team. You can go check that out over on auburndaily.com or over on SI. Again, the article was written by Ross Dellinger. There's also a link to his article in the Auburn Daily article as well. So would highly encourage you guys to go check that out. So Auburn basketball, this is the final thing I wanted to talk about here before we wrap things up. They currently, over the last, let's count it up, over the last six games, they've lost five. The only win in the middle there is Georgia. It was a blowout victory over the Bulldogs. They lost to A&M, West Virginia, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Alabama. So two really, really solid teams in Tennessee and Alabama. Two good teams in Texas A&M and West Virginia. And one bad team against Georgia that, again, you blew out. You've only got one bad team left on the schedule. You've got Mississippi in this final six-game stretch. You've got Vanderbilt in two games, but the interesting one, I think, is the one coming up tomorrow on Valentine's Day against the Missouri Tigers. Currently a top 50 team in KenPom. That's not necessarily relevant to the Tigers relative to what they are in league play. As of right now, Auburn, Kentucky, and Missouri are currently tied for a three-way split for fourth place in the SEC. I worded that poorly. Point being, if the SEC tournament ended today, three teams would technically have the fourth best conference record in the league, but only one of them would be able to go as the fourth seed and as the final double bye in the SEC tournament. As of right now, I actually don't know who that would be before this game between Auburn and Missouri is played. But this is a crucial one because of tiebreakers. Because Kentucky and, or excuse me, because Missouri and Auburn could finish 11-7 or 10-8. And depending on whether or not Auburn wins this game or not, it could be the deciding factor between whether they get that double bye and play on Wednesday or they don't and they end up playing on Thursday. It's all matchup dependent right now as to how far I think Auburn can go in this SEC tournament. Nobody wants to play Alabama, obviously. But as it stands, this is a very intriguing game for a team that is slipping. And Missouri, on the other hand, I mean, they're starting to find a little bit more of their mojo right now. If I'm not mistaken, they've won 5 out of their last 6. On top of that, they beat Tennessee on a buzzer beater on the road. They beat a top 4 team, according to KenPom, on the road, and looked pretty solid for the most part, for the majority of the first half. They looked pretty solid doing so. Matchup-wise, Missouri is good in some places and really not against the Tigers of Auburn, obviously. So we could break that down on tomorrow's episode, and we're obviously going to have like previews, takeaways, galleries, things like that all over at auburndaily.com tomorrow. I just think it's intriguing where the Tigers are standing right now. And the reason that they have just fallen off the face of the earth after starting 16-3 and 6-1 in the league, I think primarily has to do with guard play. They've got a pretty solid front court. But you look at what Alan Flanagan, Wendell Green, Katie Johnson, Zepp Jasper, those guys, what they are doing, it's not enough on the defensive end and on the offensive end. This team can't shoot. We all know that. They just can't. There's no denying it. They don't have a good shooter on this team, and don't sit here and tell me that Wendell Green is a good shooter. If you're shooting sub 38%, I'm not going to sit here and call you a good three-point shooter. It's just the reality of it. He's shooting, what, 29% from beyond the arc? Yeah, he's not a good shooter. The Tigers don't have that in their arsenal. But if they did, this team would be drastically different. If they just had one. If they had one guy that they could rely on. But they don't. This backcourt is a hodgepodge of transfer portal players that have not gelled and worked out the way I think Bruce Pearl thought it would. And so now we're sitting in a situation where you have to just kind of rally the troops. You just kind of have to sit there and hope that, you know, they're going to find the bottom of the net at some point. And it hasn't really happened much at all this year. Even in the Georgia game, I don't think they were shooting particularly well from three. They ended up shooting 36% as a team. They scored 94 points, though. So it's just a spot where you're seeing similar things to last year happen, but you don't have Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler to bail you out. That's where we're at. And Wendell Green, I know that there are mixed feelings on him. Every single game I've been to for the past few weeks, there has been somebody in the stands just bellowing about how Wendell Green needs to get rid of the ball. And I've seen similar things on social media about how he needs to distribute the basketball a little bit more. I would like to point out that he's top 60 nationally in assist rate, and the fact that he's our best ball handler, I think, is a very good thing because we don't have a lot of other people that can score in isolation consistently, maybe outside of Jani Broome and even Jalen Williams. I mean, he needs the ball given to him in certain situations. So Wendell Green, I think you have to be a little bit content with the way that he plays. But overall, man, I don't see this team getting out of this. That's kind of my thought here as we wrap this up. Is they're going to need to show some serious resilience to kind of finish this year strong. Because right now, they got Kentucky, Bama, and Tennessee to end the year. They need to get as many of these wins before that as possible. Missouri, Vanderbilt, Mississippi. They're projected to win all three. I just don't know. So if you want to go check out all of our written work over at auburndaily.com, you can certainly do that. You can also check me out at Lance_ on Twitter. Check out the auburndaily.com over on Twitter as well at the Auburn Daily. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of the Auburn Daily Show. For now, hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and God bless.